turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We'll read very familiar passage, verses 21 through verse 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through verse 34. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, no doubt toward his house, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. That is, the source of the flow of blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Prior to this chapter, in chapter 4, we see Jesus. He's by the seaside. He's speaking, he's teaching, and in doing so, he speaks the parables of the sower, the candle, and the mustard seed. After he spoke these parables, we read that evening was come, and Jesus and the apostles got into a boat and went to the other side of the sea, and on the way they experienced a great storm, which of course Jesus would calm by merely speaking. In chapter 5, in verse 1, they arrive to the other side, which was, we're told, in the country of the Gadarenes. There they were met by a man possessed of demons. This man was out of his mind. He was a maniac. He was a man of whom no one could fix. He was a man who lived in misery. He was a man who made the lives of others miserable. We know the story. Jesus would set this man free from the demons that possessed him, uprooting the misery of his life and making his life new. And we read that in verses 2 through 20 of Mark chapter 5. Following that, we read in verse 21 that Jesus goes back to the other side. And when he arrived, much people gathered unto him. And of this multitude was a ruler of one of the synagogues, by the name of Jairus, and we see that he's weighted down with a heavy burden, a burden far too heavy for him to bear, and he is seen earnestly begging for Christ to come to his house and heal his 12-year-old daughter who was at the point of death. We see that in verses 22 and 23. Luke says in his account in Luke 8, verse 41, that he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. That he would come into his house. There are many who need to pray that prayer, that Jesus would come into their house, but that's not our message. We read in verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Those are wonderful words. Jesus went with him. And much people followed. And these people thronged, or they crowded and swarmed Jesus Christ. And as this multitude, mob of people, and Jesus are proceeding to the house of Jairus, no doubt news spread that he was going to his house and he was going to heal this man's daughter, and people wanted to see miracles. So as news spread, the crowd, of course, would continue to grow, desiring to see a miracle. Then we read in verse 25, and a certain woman. The procession was interrupted by an unnamed woman who, like Jairus, was also desperate for a miracle in her life. We know that Jesus would heal her of her plague. And then Jesus would continue on to the house of Jairus, where he would raise the daughter of Jairus. So in Mark chapter 5, we see some miserable dilemmas that mankind finds themselves in. It is a very eventful chapter in which we see Jesus at work. All through Mark chapter 5, we see Jesus at work. We see him manifesting his love. We see him manifesting his grace, his mercy, his power, his authority, and his sufficiency. In this chapter, it is revealed that Jesus is greater than the miseries and the needs of man. In this message, we want to focus upon Jesus healing this unnamed woman. In the past, we have preached from this particular event, not just part of the crowd. We preached the message on that we should not be content with just being a part of the crowd around Jesus, as this woman was not just part of the crowd. She received a special blessing. We have preached on the subject of interruptions. Again, they're on the way to the house of Jairus, and there was a God-ordained interruption that really strengthened the faith of Jairus. And we need to learn to appreciate those interruptions. And we've looked at it as just the example of Jairus. Well, we want to center the main thought today from what we read in verse 30. Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue, goodness, strength, efficacy had gone out of him. Virtue had gone out of him. So we want to speak this morning on flowing out of Jesus. Virtue went out of him. Flowing out of Jesus. We want to consider three points. We want to, first of all, see the dilemma of this woman. We want to see the desire of this woman. And then we want to see the deliverance of this woman. But first of all, the dilemma of this woman. She's not known by her name. She is referred to as a certain woman. And she's known by her problem. She's known by her situation. And if you are known by your problem, if you are known by your situation, you have a big problem. You have a big situation. We see in verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's what she's known by. Her problem is an issue or a flow of blood. That's her problem. She had a physical, unnatural flow of blood. In verse 29, it is referred to as a plague. Now, a plague is something that torments us. So, this flow of blood was something that caused torment in her life. A plague is something that ravages the body. It breaks down the body. It destroys the body. Matthew, in his account, in Matthew 9, verse 20, says that she was diseased. That is, she was ailing. She was contaminated. She was diseased with an issue of blood, Matthew says. Or she was diseased with this unnatural flow of blood. We see also that this was a long-standing condition. We see in our text in verse 25 that she had this flow of blood for 12 years. And it was continuous during that time span. We read in Luke chapter 8 and verse 43, and a woman having, present tense, continuous, an issue of blood 12 years. So this was an ongoing problem. With this unnatural bleeding having gone on for 12 years, this woman, no doubt, was in a weakened, in a debilitated, and an impaired condition. She was, again, it's a plague. She is eroding away. What we must not lose sight of is her root problem is an issue of blood. That is her root problem. It is not her only problem, but it is her root problem, an issue of blood. And as often is the case, her root problem led to other problems. Because of this issue of blood, we read in Mark chapter 5 and verse 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians. The physicians are not her root problem. Her root problem is this issue, this flow of blood. The physicians with their so-called remedies were not her root problem. But these physicians stemmed from her root problem. Due to this issue of blood, due to this flow of blood, she was subject and she underwent and was subjected to further hurt and further misery, which created other problems in her life. But again, her root problem is this flow of blood. That is the root problem. Her condition was not only aggravated by the physicians of men, but we also read that she had spent all that she had. That's another problem. But it is not her root problem. Luke states in Luke 8 verse 43 that she had spent all her living upon physicians. Now whether she was rich or poor 12 years ago really doesn't matter. Because now she has nothing. But her root problem
is this issue of blood. Her root problem is not that she has no money. That stems from her root problem, which is this issue of blood. So this issue of blood led to other problems. It led to the frustration that she experienced from the physicians. It led to poverty. In other words, her life, because of her root problem, became a life of emptiness and a life of hopelessness. But again, it's all traced back to her issue of blood. That's where everything goes back to, is this issue of blood. So she has spent all that she has had, all that she had. But there was another problem. It says, and she was nothing bettered. Luke states in Luke 8, verse 43, neither could be healed of any. So adding to the anguish, the distress, and the misery was that her hopes and expectations were crushed over and over and over again for 12 years. For 12 years, she had the hope of getting better. Every time she went to a physician, she had the hope of getting better. She had the hope of finding a cure. She had the hope that her life somehow would be put back together. But she went 12 years without remedy to her problem. And after you run out of money, it comes to the point the physicians no longer want to see you. And her condition just got worse and worse. So for 12 years, this woman would go to a physician, perhaps her hopes are lifted up, only to be disappointed. But disappointment is not her root problem. Oh, it is a problem in her life, but it's not her root problem. All of her problems go back to this issue of blood. It all goes back to this flow of blood. She not only did not get better, but it says that she grew worse. That is, she gradually, over a period of 12 years, became worse. In other words, her dilemma was intensifying. She was deteriorating further and further. She is at a dead end in her life. But that's not her root problem. Her root problem is this flow of blood. So you view this woman, her health is gone, her money is gone, every aspect of her life has been affected by her root problem, an issue of blood. So hers is, because of this issue of blood, hers is a life of anguish. Hers is a life of misery. A life of heartache. Now she's experiencing bankruptcy. Desolation. She is tormented. She is tormented physically. She is tormented socially. Because this would make her unclean. She is also tormented emotionally. And her very existence is one of suffering, one of grief. And she's getting worse and worse with each passing day. And there is no remedy for her condition. So you view this woman, and we see a picture of desperation. She is desperate. But this unnamed woman is not unlike many today. There are many today who can identify with this woman. How many today live lives filled with difficulties and problems and sorrows and heartaches, and live lives of emptiness with one vain attempt after another, leading to one dead end after another, and getting worse and worse and worse. So this, and that was the condition of this woman. But she's not unlike many today. Next, we want to see the desire of this woman. We see her dilemma. Keep in mind, she has many problems, but she has a root problem. She has a root problem. Don't lose sight of the root problem. That is a tactic of Satan. So she has this root problem, which is an issue of blood. We look at her desire. She's in a terrible and worsening condition. And we read in verse 27 that one day she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. This woman with all of her problems, all of her needs, this woman who is hurting in many different ways, and her life is filled with disappointment and discouragement and hopelessness. Her life is burdened down, weighted down. She's tired of her life. After 12 years, you're going to grow tired. And more than anything, she wanted to be set free from her dreadful condition. And we read that she heard of Jesus. She heard of one called Jesus. She heard of Jesus. Those are wonderful words. What do you think she heard? What do you think she heard? Well, I believe, and you can believe what you want, but I believe that she probably heard of his love, his compassion. Probably heard of his kindness upon the unworthy. Heard of his power to do the miraculous, his power to do what no one else could do. She no doubt heard of how Jesus could do the impossible and the unheard of. She heard how that Jesus had delivered those under the dominion of demonic powers. She heard of how he had cleansed lepers and how he had healed and raised the diseased and the infirm and how he had given sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, strength to the crippled. She heard of Jesus. She heard of one who could fix the problems of man. She heard of one who could fix the minds of man and fix the lives of man. She heard of Jesus. And having heard of Jesus, she began probably to think, you know, this Jesus, he can cure me. This Jesus, he can deliver me from my problem. This Jesus, he can put my life back together. This Jesus, he can make me whole. Jesus can fix this. I believe she says to herself. Notice verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She believed. She believed that this one called Jesus could do what 12 years of time could not do. She believed that this one called Jesus could do what the physicians and the remedies of man could not do. She believed that this one called Jesus could do what all her money could not do. She believed. And what she believed, she believed what she had heard concerning Jesus. Whatever it was she heard, she believed. Whatever it was she heard of him, she believed. And as a result, in verse 27, and he gives us the details later, but she came. She believed, and she came. Whatever your state, whatever your condition, do you believe enough in this one called Jesus to come? People can say all the time, I believe, I believe, I believe. But do you believe enough to come? She did. She came to Jesus Christ. She heard of Jesus. She believed what she heard. And as a result, a desire filled her soul. She wants to meet him. She wants to see him. She wants to touch him. Again, verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Matthew says in his account in chapter 9, verse 21, for she said within herself, so she's speaking this to herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. To touch his clothes means that she would have to get near to him. She would have to get near to him. She believed. She never stopped believing. If I may just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She believed, and as a result, she pressed toward him. She longs to get near him. So near to him that she can touch him. No one else can help her. He's her only hope. And that is the position that every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to get to. No one else can help. He's my only hope. And let me tell you, when you get to that position, you will come. You will come. The multitudes are thronging around Christ. She's longing to be whole. She's saying to herself over and over, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can just touch his clothes. But in order to do so, she knew I have to get through that mob of people. And she is determined not to let people or anything else keep her from this one named Jesus. Why? Because she believed. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now I believe that she crawled through that crowd of people surrounding Jesus. Why do we say that? Matthew 9 verse 20 says that she came behind him and touched the hem, the bottom
of his garment. Luke refers to it as the border of his garment. If she was walking uprightly, she could have just touched the shoulder, but she touched the hem. I don't believe that she was knocked down. I don't believe that she was accidentally pushed into him. But I see her crawling through that people with in desperate need and believing, I have to touch him. All I have to do is touch him. And she is weak. And she is frail. And she is saying to herself, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And we can see her in our minds. She's pressing on for what she needs in Christ. She knows what her root problem is. Her root problem is not that she's out of money. Her root problem is not that she's run out of physicians. Her root problem is this flow of blood. And she says, I know if I can just touch him, I'll be whole. That is this root problem. Will be taken care of. So she's pressing through that crowd. And eventually she gets close enough where she can reach up and touch, probably grasped, the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And whatever our individual needs at this hour, this needs to be us moving in the direction of Jesus Christ, regardless of obstacles, regardless of difficulties, pressing on toward Christ. Whatever your problem is, and we all have problems, and we all have a root problem that leads to other problems. But whatever those problems are, press on toward Jesus Christ. Move in the direction of Jesus Christ, believing that He is greater than any dilemma you might have. He is greater than any need you might have. He is greater than any turmoil of body or soul. Believing He is able to make me whole. And then that brings us to point number three. We see her delivered or healed. Having touched him, notice verse 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood, the flow of her blood, the source of her blood flowing, was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately, she was healed. Notice it does not say, and straightway, money was put into her bank account. Because that's not her root problem. It does not say, and immediately there was another physician that could help her. No, Jesus got to the root of the problem. And immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Jesus, flowing out of Jesus, was what 12 years of time could not do. Jesus instantly did what 12 years of the intellect and the talents and the know-how and the remedies of man could not do. The fountain of blood was dried up. And this will upset a lot of Baptists. And she felt in her body. She felt something. What did she feel? She felt whole. She felt healed. And she felt in her body that she was healed
of that plague. How did it come about? Verse 30, virtue had gone out of him. What flowed out of Jesus took care of her problem. It was what flowed out of Christ that stopped what flowed out of her and healed her of her dreadful disease. That virtue that flowed out of Christ was greater than her disease, greater than her suffering, greater than her need. And so it is today. What flows out of Jesus Christ is greater than any need that you have. We don't have to know your need. We don't have to know your problem. I do know the answer. The answer is what flows out of Jesus Christ. You say, but you don't even know the problem. I don't need to. Whatever flows out of Christ is the answer. Virtue had left him. Power flows out of Jesus Christ. Light flows out of Jesus Christ. Strength, healing, rest, relief, peace, fulfillment, joy. It's all in Christ. All of those things are in Christ. But aren't you glad it flows out of Christ also? She simply touched. She believed. Her belief drew her to Christ. She touched the hem of his garment, and out of him flowed what she needed. And I assure you today, at this present moment, whatever your circumstances, whatever is in Christ, is greater and goes beyond your need. It goes beyond. And we read in verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Knowing what was done in her. What a blessing. She could feel in her body the power of God. Out of Jesus Christ flowed God's remedy. I have sat and talked to people through the years who've had unbelievable problems. You tell them of Christ, and I've had many say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about that. And I can't help you. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. But I can't help you. Because Jesus Christ is the remedy. And the masses today live under the cloud and weight of the filth of sin. They live lives of emptiness. They live lives of turmoil. They live lives of discouragement. But what's in Jesus and what flows out of Jesus is what we need. And if you're here and lost, the righteousness that you need is only in Christ. It flows out of him. The forgiveness, the cleansing, reconciliation, the pardon, and the acceptance that you need is in Jesus Christ. And if you can come to him, if you can come to him believing like this woman did,
I can promise you today that out of him will flow what you need. And in many cases, it'll stop what flows out of us. Because what flows out of us is what leads to so many other problems. So we see here, this is another message, but we're going to go ahead and mention it. This woman, again, is not known by her name. And I'm sure all the people in that multitude thought she was a nobody. But in Luke 8 and verse 40, in Luke's account, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. Somebody hath touched me. And there are those who consider themselves a nobody, but aren't you glad that God recognizes nobodies as somebodies? Somebody hath touched me. So press toward him. Reach forth for him. Reach forth for him, knowing that in him is God's remedy. Again, I don't have to know your problem. I don't have to understand your problem. We know one who does know. And we know one who does understand. And you need to press toward him. In him flows out the remedy of God. I'm glad that's so. I'm glad if I'm permitted to live another day, that it'll be so tomorrow. If I'm allowed to live another 5 years, it'll be so then too. Every day I wake up, it's so. That what I need is in him. And it flows out to me. That's grace. That's mercy. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.